Don't you always want to be the best you can be?
The Frankie Boyer Show.
What is this?
It's more than a lifestyle show.
It's a show about living in today's world.
I think something is happening.
Frankie enthusiastically brings an amazing eclectic mix to the airwaves.
You got that right.
One of the reasons she's earned legions of loyal fans is very simple. When you listen to The Frankie Boyer Show, you just never know what's going to happen next.
So listen for yourself.
Here is Frankie Boyer.
And welcome. We are in for a treat today because there's a new national bestseller called New Power: How Anyone Can Persuade, Mobilize, and Succeed in Our Chaotic Connected World and Age. And Jeremy Hyman is with us today, and he is a visionary along with his co-author Henry Times, and they have put together this amazing book. And because you say that we are all experiencing, and welcome to the program. It's really a pleasure to have you with us today, Jeremy.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here, Frankie.
So you say that the new power, we don't even realize it, but the new power is, give us examples, Black Lives Matter, the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yeah, so that's right. I mean, there are so many phenomena all around us today, right, which show us this new source of power. You know, if you want to think about the difference between old and new power in a simple way, you know, think of the difference between Harvey Weinstein, who's a sort of very negative example of old power. This is a guy who wielded his power like a currency. You know, he used that power to punish his enemies, to reward his friends. We're all familiar with that kind of man and that kind of exercise of power. But then you think about the Me Too movement and how differently that works. So if Harvey's power is something that you hold like a currency, that you hoard up, you know, you can't hoard the kind of power that the Me Too movement represents. The Me Too movement works more like a current. It's a surge of energy. You know, it gets more powerful the more people participate. And
yes,
that's the kind of power that we think is going to be a very big part of our future, and that we think that everybody needs to get their head around and needs to start to learn how to channel.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. You have also founded an organization, and you are the CEO of Purpose. And tell us about Purpose.
Well, so Purpose is really all about putting new power into action. So we build and support movements around the world on issues like climate change, refugees and refugee rights, immigration, gun violence, many other issues around the world. So our focus is, you know, the way you mobilize people, the way you inspire people to take action, the way people can organize with each other has changed a lot. And we're kind of, I think, trying to be at the cutting edge of that. And help start organizations and movements that can really mobilize people and work with big existing organizations who are trying to do that work.
So how did you and Henry connect? Because Henry is the president of Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts in New York. Formerly, he was president and CEO of the 92nd Street Y, which everybody, you know, worldwide knows that, and what he did to that and created that phenomenon. And so how did you both connect?
So, you know, Henry and I were in similar circles that kind of came at things from different worlds. So Henry had been running these big institutions. You know, the 92nd Street Y is 150 years old, and his work was to transform that institution into a new power institution. And, you know, he helped to found something called Giving Tuesday, which you'll know is a movement all over the world for giving on the days after Black Friday and Cyber Monday in the Thanksgiving
yes.
period. And that was all about creating a kind of movement that no one owned, but that everybody could spread around giving. And so he had been doing this in old power institutions. And if you like, I'd been starting these new power movements for most of my career and creating these new sources of power. And we put our heads together and we realized that we really needed to create a language, a framework for ordinary people to be able to understand the changes that are happening, because they're so chaotic, right? Everybody's
yes.
feeling so disoriented
yes.
by the changes, these movements that kind of come out of nowhere, these political leaders that seem to emerge out of nowhere with the backing of these frenzied crowds. And so our work here is to make that digestible for everyday people, and also to give people the tools for them to use New Power themselves.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, who would have thought Airbnb would have taken off the way that it has? Who would have thought that?
I mean, exactly. I mean, it is a phenomenon to think that in just a few short years, this company kind of, has had a massive impact on the global market that it's in. In many ways, eclipsed the old power, brands that dominated the hotel industry for years. And it did that without owning a single square foot of real estate. So it's such a different model. And we like to tell the story of how with Airbnb, they've figured out a way to get their own hosts to lobby for it in their regulatory battles. So, they're knocking on doors. They feel like a community. Imagine the guests of the Marriott Hotel Group lobbying for them, in their regulatory fight.
Obviously,
there's something they're doing that's different.
Absolutely. And the same thing. Who would have thunk? Who would have thunk ride sharing, Uber and Lyft, could come into our worlds and with just a click of our computer, just on our phones, and in 1 minute, we have a ride waiting for us. That's affordable.
Right. Well, that's right. And so what's happening is these people who figured out how to create these new power models, these new power networks, they are winning today. And the question then is that they're going to end up amassing a lot of control. And so one of the things we've seen is the dark side of that is that that sometimes a Facebook, for example, this is another platform that's got 2 billion of us participating every day, contributing our content, and yet they're now in a position where they can really tweak our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions through their algorithm without us even really understanding what's happening to us. And so one of the big things to get our head around in this new world is that the people who are these kind of new power titans are in many ways the new are our new overlords. And that's also a
yes.
concern.
So you talk about this new power and by the video games, social networks, social movements, dating apps, charities.
Yes. I mean, it's everywhere, right? This
yes.
phenomenon is in business, it's in culture, it's in politics. And really what we saw as we were thinking about this work and when we first published this idea in Harvard Business Review was there's actually some common structural characteristics across these changes that actually help us see what's happening more clearly because we're seeing it everywhere.
As we sit back and reflect and we're talking and having this conversation, it really brings to light how powerful these movements are and can be for future. I mean, this is very reminiscent of the baby boomers protesting the war, getting out and becoming involved, action mode. But now we see it's almost as though this millennial generation has the ability to do more change than one could have ever imagined through this social platform. And are they even aware of this power?
Well, I think, it's so interesting, isn't it, to think about the difference between being a kid growing up today versus even 20 or 30 years ago. So we use this analogy to describe the difference between old and new power as the difference between playing Tetris and playing Minecraft. So we all know Tetris, the number one video game of the 20th century. And if you remember Tetris, it was like a block game. These blocks are falling on your head. All you can do is sort them into neat rows. They get faster
yes.
and faster, and they
yeah.
eventually
yeah.
overwhelm you. So, your agency in that game is very limited. You can't really beat the system. And then you think about a game like Minecraft. And for those who don't know it, Minecraft is a game in which the users create and build everything in that universe. And so much of the physical world is reproduced in Minecraft and also imagined worlds. And the difference between Tetris and Minecraft is that there aren't rules in Minecraft. everything in Minecraft is created by its users, and the way you build things is you collaborate with others. So you think about being a kid growing up in a Minecraft world versus a Tetris world. And you
think it's about fascinating.
What that teaches you, right, about your role in the world. You know,
so
very, very
so we're out of time, but Jeremy, what's the website? How can people find out more about New Power? The book is available in paperback wherever books are sold. Is there websites that people can get more about you and Henry?
Yeah, you can go to thisisnewpower.com, thisisnewpower.com, and you can find out more about the idea and the big community that's emerged around it, as well as find out where...
Yes. Thank you so much. We'll be back in a moment. Frankie Boyer, stay tuned. Biz Talk Radio.
Now you can watch business videos on demand. Go to bizvod.com for details. That's BIZVOD.com.
Back lady, you gon' hurt your back.
And welcome back. It's Frankie Boyer, and this is Biz Talk Radio, biztalkradio.com. Joining us now is registered nurse Ellie Cullen. Ellie Cullen's story is so inspirational, from wheelchair to creating blood testing because it was for her own survival as a young mother in a wheelchair with rheumatoid arthritis, and found a way through nutrition and blood testing, and then formed a company called Your Future Health. She wrote a book a few years ago, many years ago now. It was it's a bestseller, and it's called Normal Blood Test Scores Aren't Good Enough. And Ellie, I had the good fortune, and it's always a pleasure, I had the good fortune of interviewing Stuart Jameson the other day, who is one of the pioneers, over 40,000 heart surgeries, one of the pioneers for heart surgeries, and created the heart-lung machine, created medications so that people could be able to transition and have their bodies accept the transplanted organs. And I asked him a question, and I said, what is it that you, if you could change one thing about us as Americans? And he said, it's not just us as in America, it's obesity. And so this morning there was a debate on, and a conversation, not so much a debate, about Weight Watchers is, for the first time in its history, is really struggling because people are so involved in this keto movement. And it seems like we know what we need to do, but we just can't do it. And you have been talking about the role of carbohydrates in our diet. And I would just like to know, for someone who has so much data and so much information, what your thoughts are on how do we not get heart disease? Loaded question.
But I think very clearly it's balance. Very important to have balance in diet. Now, I know keto diets help people lose weight. I know Atkins plan helps people lose weight. I know the Zen plan helps people lose weight. It's not, but I don't think it's just a matter of having a weight loss plan like that. I really think balance is the key to everything. So you're a vegetarian. I am not a vegetarian, but we can still balance our diets with carbohydrates of healthy plant foods. I love plant-based things. It's wonderful. Someone being a total vegan is not a problem either, but it takes more work if you're going to specialize. You have to work harder as a vegetarian than I do eating animal products.
Right.
And a vegan has to work even harder than that. But it can be done, and it can still stay in balance. And when I say balance, I mean that we continue to have some fats, we continue to have all of the complex carbohydrates, that we have protein. It's just your choice would be protein in a plant source or in a non-animal source.
Yes.
But we can still get that balance in our life. The thing that has to do with weight loss or obesity, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, but in my opinion, it's insulin resistance. And I do not think that people understand that insulin resistance is not totally just what you eat. Insulin resistance also comes from stress. And so many people who are very stressed out, can be overweight even though they're eating a perfect diet.
Yes.
So they can have insulin resistance just from stress. And because that is going to increase one's insulin levels, and when you have too much insulin in response to too many carbohydrates in your diet, you're going to store the calories. And then eventually, you know, you put on the weight. So I think we need to say, and that's where vitamins and minerals come in, because we know for a fact, Frankie, with blood testing, we've proven that stress destroys A, B, C, D, E, zinc, and iron. Everyone doesn't lose them. Some people lose just one thing. Some people lose all of them. But those are the stress factors, and I believe soon I will be able to include selenium as a trace mineral that also is affected by stress. I don't have enough data to say that today, but it's looking like that.
Yeah.
So all these things affect your thyroid, and everybody knows that your thyroid affects your weight. So if you're stressed, you lose those nutrients, your thyroid is not functioning as it should because it's stressed out and doesn't have the support it needs from those nutrients, you're much more likely to have low metabolism, much more likely to store the fats, and therefore get that little tummy as a starter, and then eventually some people, you know, everybody has different body types. So some people just immediately goes to the buttocks. Some people distribute it all over their body. So, but it's about stress. If I sum up weight loss, it's about stress. And if you use one of those diets, I do not think you can stay on a limited kind of diet forever. You always break over and go into something else, which isn't balanced, and then most people gain it back. So that's gaining, losing is not the goal. It is to get things back in balance in one's life. That's my opinion.
I absolutely agree with you. And there has been so much. I'm getting ready to go to the big expo in California, in Anaheim, in a few days. And one of the big things, I've already gotten, you know, tons of emails. There'll be 35 to 4,000 booths. It's impossible to do the show anymore. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you, I've already gotten hundreds of emails from new products, and everything is keto, 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 keto. Everything.
Right.
Last year it was paleo. This year it's keto, 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 keto. And I just want to say that for some of us, the blood testing really and truly is our blueprint for what we should be eating, what we can eat, what our bodies can tolerate. And a real quick example is that I am one person where a keto diet would probably take years off my life instead of adding them to my life. I'm not someone who should be eating, because of my gene patterns and because Ellie has been doing my blood for so many years now, we can see clearly what's working and what's not. And that's why I strongly, yourfuturehealth.com, 877-468-6934. Ellie's not a sponsor. I don't get money for this. I do it because I promote Ellie because, and I say this, if I weren't a talk show host, I'd be working for her company. I believe so. The minute I heard Ellie, and I met her at a trade show 19 years ago, a long time ago, and when I heard when I heard her speak, I knew that this was the answer for all of us. If we could see x-rays of ourselves in the mirror, we would know that this is to be true. So I encourage everybody to know what your blueprint is before you go on any diet to lose weight. Just know what your baseline is. That's all. And call. And Ellie's company can help. They're wonderful. They're customer service, they love you. They specialize in customer service. 877.
And we don't charge when you call us.
No, they don't charge. 877-468-6934. Thank you so much, Ellie. We'll be right back. I'm Frankie Boyer. This is Biz Talk Radio, biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio is powered by Freedom Solar. Find out more at freedomsolar.com. Biz Talk Radio.
And welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer, and joining us now is Meredith Jordan. What a fascinating life Meredith Jordan has had. Meredith, welcome to the program. It's so nice to have you with us on Biz Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So you're the author of Below the Line, Anatomy of a Successful Movie, and you had the rare experience of being a journalist for an entire Hollywood feature, and it was chronicled the behind-the-scenes happenings in the making of Las Vegas.
That's all true. Yes, ma'am. I was I had a desk in the bullpen, which is the center of the production department, and free reign. I could go wherever I wanted. So very, very unusual it is.
Yeah. But you're saying that there are many states, 31 to be exact, and I know that we in Massachusetts really love when movies are made here, and of course we get a lot of them because our local Wahlberg family and Ben Affleck, you know, and Casey Affleck, they, you know, they're from here, so they come back and make movies here as well.
Oh, absolutely. And Boston's one of those cities too, you know, like DC or Las Vegas, that really, you know, you have to be there to get it. It almost has its own personality, its history. So, you know, important.
Yes. And we, my neighborhood especially, they were doing a photo shoot for an international magazine fashion shoot on one of the streets right in the back, go out my back door, and they were doing filming on this funky little street because we have these little streets, Little Italy in Boston. And also Margaret Street, which I can't tell you, the Whitey Bulger movie. So many movies have taken place on this hill, this street. They have reenacted this street at least 15 times in different movies.
Yeah, I can believe it. I mean, it's a great city, and that's a great place to shoot.
So tell us, and Atlanta is now, Georgia has now become Little Hollywood or Hollywood East?
Yeah, so Hollywood South, and then they call it Yollywood. You know, it what they did was put in the tax credits that everyone now matches, which are 30%, and stuck with it. They didn't take them out. They didn't have a political swing, which we've seen some states do, and then it kind of slows things down and they rebuild. But Georgia stuck with it, and it has no cap, which last year, I think $800 million is how much they provided. But it's a huge, you know, state, a huge city, Atlanta. And I think they say $2.8 billion, you know, came back in direct spending, maybe $2.7 billion.
So it really is very – yeah, I was just going to say it's really worth it, isn't it?
I think it is worth it. I mean, 0% of zero is 0% of zero is zero. So these are not companies that would be going to Georgia anyway. And what film production does is, in their accounting is completely different than regular accounting. They come in with a full budget and they begin spending from there. So that's what they're doing. They're coming to town and spending a lot of money.
So if you could just share with us, it's not just the money, but it's everything that they bring with it. There's need for catering. There's need for extras. I mean, just share with us a little bit of that.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, it's like the shredding companies. All these new companies took form in Georgia to address the demand. It was everything but like an extras company, new companies starting that could provide the people that they needed, because it's very important. If you say you're going to bring 50 background actors, which is actually the correct term, then you show up with them. You can't show up with 35 because they're relying on you to bring those people. So, you know, Georgia's seen that, but also just you sell more paper. The Staples, Panavision has opened offices there because then they can, it's a Georgia business. So you have new companies starting, but also restaurants are selling more food, hotel rooms are booked. There's a lot of spending.
when you were on the set, what were some of the big observations that you had at that time?
The main thing really is that it's a collaborative art form. I mean, the people who are contributing to movies are doing so, the crew, in huge ways that we don't recognize because we're so focused on celebrity and above the line.
Yes.
But, you know, the production designer is a guy named David Bomba, and he's just an amazing, you know, he's sort of visionary in a sense. Now, he's doing what the director wants, so the real vision belongs to John Turteltaub. He did that shark movie this summer, The Meg. But he was a very collaborative director and relied on his people, like Bomba, to bring that to life. And the set decorator, Patrick Cassidy, I mean, these are people that are every bit as talented as, you know, as some of the best actors that you see on camera, and they don't get any credit. So that's my takeaway.
Right. There was just a campaign done during the Oscars for the behind-the-scenes people, and I thought it was a great campaign. I think it was Walmart that is doing the campaign of dressing the crew. Have you seen this campaign?
Right.
It's really brilliant and making everyone aware of the crew, because they don't get the kind of money that the actors get. They don't get that kind of notoriety. They're really devoted and hardworking and devoted to the art form.
Absolutely. And that is the point of my book. It really is to shine a light on the people that have been doing this forever. And the fact that we don't know who they are goes back many decades. I mean, Hollywood created that, you know, that's why it's so hard. No reporters get on set. It just isn't, you know, done. So that's why it's revelatory, because we don't know much for the design, really.
So what's the next step for you? Where are you now investigating, and tell us what your life is like, because you've been very much involved in this for a long time.
I have been. Well, I collected a lot of information about the history of movie production, so I'm really fascinated with how all these processes began. But I'm also looking a lot at the tax breaks and some of the business sides to Hollywood. It's a fantastic business. It's just an amazing, it's amazing what they do. So I'll keep doing more of the same, I think. And of course, talking about this book, which belowthelinebook.com is the website. It'll link folks in to learn more. But you know where else I'm going is to a lot of schools, universities, and I just did a two-day seminar in West Virginia to tell people about, you know, how it works, what jobs are available, that kind of thing.
So what are some of the jobs that when a movie comes to your town, how do you even go about finding out how to get involved in it?
You know, there are a lot of different techniques, but usually there's a film office in town. Each state has one that you can get on the list of people. You can also approach them if you hear that one is coming to town and, you know, submit a resume. They're looking for experienced people, which is why something like Atlanta and sticking with it made a big difference, because then they generated a large crew base that was available for hire, because these are union jobs, many of them. But you could be
an extra. Why are so many movie sets in Vancouver?
Same thing. They made it easy. They made it easy to go there to shoot pictures, and they gave them some credits, some tax breaks to go there. So to give you an idea how real tax breaks are, like Georgia's the best example, because Las Vegas, which is the movie I covered, was shot there and on location in Las Vegas. Their budget reflected a $30 million movie, not a $36 million movie, which is what it really was, because that's how tangible that benefit is. So they save money, but they also just, you know, they showed up with millions of dollars in effect and stood it there. So, you know, that's how the local cities, it's worth their effort to do that. Then there are intangible things like the promotion of the state. You know, you see Boston, right? You see this beautiful city.
Yeah.
That has, you can't even quantify that, you know. That's the
right. Thing. Exactly. And the revenue, as you have shared, is the incentives. it really is a win-win for everybody. It's just such a great opportunity. And it's really fun. I don't know. I don't have a problem when the signs go up filming, park somewhere else, and they give you phone numbers if you need help finding a space, if you need help finding a garage, if you have any issues, call us. You know, it's not like they just run and dump. They're not. They're very receptive in helping the community that they're involved in. So I always love that too. Thank you so much. Below the Line Book, is that the best website?
Yes, belowthelinebook.com, and it's on Amazon as well. And yeah,
awesome.
I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks so much. It was fun. And we'll be back in a moment. Frankie Boyer, stay tuned, Biz Talk Radio.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
And welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer. This is Biz Talk Radio, biztalkradio.com. And it has been quite the cold and flu season in America this year, as it is every year. It just seems that it's more so. And I think part of the problem is that we are exposed to so many germs and the weather and... You know, we just had Ellie come on and talk about the emotional stress. And let me tell you something. All of that affects the immune system. Our immune system is very much affected by all the stresses that we go under. And you know, something as simple as even getting ready and getting prepped for a colonoscopy changes the friendly flora in your system, changes everything, and changes your immune system. So, you know, even getting ready for that, it has its ramifications. So many years ago, there was a pioneer in the field of immunity, and his name was Gordon Melcher. And Gordon had lost his son to AIDS. And he made a commitment and a vow that he would do anything and everything to help people understand immunity and how critical it is. And he felt if he couldn't save his son, then maybe there could be someone else out there that he saves. Well, it's a lovely story. Fast forward 23 years ago or 20-something years ago, and Jeff Melcher, Gordon's grandson, has taken over and is educating all of us. And Jeff, always a pleasure.
Yeah, happy to be here. I'm so excited.
So let's talk about your grandfather's passion, which was immunity.
Yeah, and the whole idea was he didn't want to have a parent go through what he had to go through. And last year, CDC reported that over 80,000 people died from the flu. Something as simple as the flu is killing thousands upon thousands of people. And your immune system is at the heart of all of that. And Delinolate Plus Cold and Flu is literally designed to boost your immune system to a level to fight back and eliminate those symptoms. And the number one risk factor for people that die from the flu is a compromised immune system. So we're here going, we want to help you. We want to get your immune system back. And something that's less than $12, not only does it save your sick time, not only does it keep you going, it can literally save your life. And that's why East Park Research was founded. That's why we're here talking about Delinolate Plus Cold and Flu. And at eastparkresearch.com, Gordon1 is the discount code. You have an option, and it's up to you, because March last year was the deadliest month for the flu. It's not over. It's just not in the news. It's not over. People are dying, and you have an option. You have something to fight back, and that's Delinolate Plus cold and flu.
And so what I say to people is for $11 and change, to be able to just get this is crazy not to take advantage of it. I mean, $11 and change. And Gordon1 is the code, and Jeff's company, East Park Research, has been, eastparkresearch.com, has been so generous in giving a lovely discount to our audience. But, you know, this stuff works. I'm an example. You know, I've shared with you all that I take the regular olive leaf now for the candida, which is such a huge problem, and we're going to see more and more stories about the old sugar, the old junk that we used to eat growing up. You know, this is what happens when you grow up eating and drinking sugary products, that candida. It's so gross to think about it, but it hangs around. It has a life of its own. And it's from that candida that we get sick. And it's like 40, 50 years of eating a certain way, and the body is like, nope, I'm done with this. Enough already. I'm going to make you even sicker than you've ever been. And so for anyone out there, check out East Park Research. And you have a questionnaire that you can send to people?
Yeah, if you're possibly think you're struggling with candida and you want to know, this is completely free. You go to eastparkresearch.com. There's a candida questionnaire tab. All you have to do is put in your email address, and it'll automatically send it over to you. Take the time. Go through it. See where you're at so you can start the discovery process of what some of those great next steps might be.
Absolutely. I mean, this is so important for anyone out there listening. I mean, it's really critical information that you're getting a heads up. I know that I will be traveling to Expo this year. I'm going to double up on my olive leaf. These products used to be my secret, magical secret that I had. I didn't understand how important they are to be used daily to help with candida. And then the Delinolate Plus is such a great product for the cold and the flu, which if you think you're getting sick, have this in your house and grab the bottle. And as Jeff says, finish the bottle. It's only like a 3-4 day supply. Finish it, and you will ward off the problems. It's eastparkresearch.com and Gordon One, in honor of the wonderful late Gordon Melcher, whose mission was to try and teach us all about immune health. And Jeff, thank you for keeping the tradition going. And thank all of you. This has been another edition of the Frankie Boyer Show for Biz Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Make it a great day. And as always,
smile. Though your heart is aching, smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your pain and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun.